Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 27th of January, the 27th day of 2025, affording us 338 days on our journey toward 2026. We are closing out January, the month named by the Romans after Janus, the god of two faces, the god of beginnings and transitions, with one face looking back into the past year and the other looking forward into the present and future. Sometime around 713 BC, the semi-mythical successor to Romulus, King Numa Pompilius, purportedly added the months of January and February, Januarius and Februum, so that the calendar would cover a standard lunar year of 354 days. So we are only a handful of days away from Februum, or February, a month of purification for the Romans, who would be burning the fields to ready them for the beginning of the agricultural season starting in March. But not so fast, you say. Let's reflect a little on January. Busy enough nationally, regionally, and locally to keep us on our toes, judging by the frequency of footsteps in the latest snow that arrived a week ago, a harbinger of the sort of cold most of us in Maine have grown to expect almost halfway into winter. Los Angeles Times syndicated columnist Robin Abkarian's piece in this past Friday's Bangor Daily News provided a bit of humor regarding the presidential inauguration in Washington last week. There was First Lady Melania, sporting a form of personal protective equipment, a wide-brimmed hat that absolutely screamed, "Get away from my face!" The president tried to give her a peck at one point, but couldn't get within kissing distance of her cheek. No species on Earth does craziness in the ways we humans do with our relentless global circus. 19th century birthday boy Lewis Carroll put it this way in his poem, The Hunting of the Snark. Fit the first, the landing. "Just the place for a snark," the bellman cried, as he landed his crew with care, supporting each man on top of the tide by a finger entwined in his hair. "Just the place for a snark. I've said it twice. That alone should encourage the crew. Just the place for a snark. I have said it thrice. What I tell you three times is true." The crew was complete. It included a boots, a maker of bonnets and hoods, a barrister brought to arrange their disputes, and a broker to value their goods. A billiard maker whose skill was immense might perhaps have won more than his share, but a banker engaged at enormous expense had the whole of their cash in his care. Heavenward this morning before sunrise, our waning crescent moon was close to the eastern horizon, well below the bright red supergiant star Antares, brightest star in the constellation Scorpius the Scorpion. This evening, look from west to east to see the planets Saturn, Venus, Jupiter, and Mars. Wednesday morning before dawn, we'll have our new moon rising in the east, and shortly after sunset, that thin, waxing crescent moon will be hanging in the bright twilight low on the western horizon, while Venus and Saturn will shine high in the sky. Today in 98 AD, Trajan became Roman Emperor. Today in 1785, the first state university in the U.S. was chartered in Athens, Georgia. Today in 1825, U.S. President James Monroe urged Congress to approve creation of Indian Territory west of the Mississippi River for the relocation of eastern Indian tribes to, quote, "promote their welfare and happiness," close quote, which would become known as the Trail of Tears. Today in 1880, American inventor Thomas Edison patented the incandescent lamp. Today in 1894, in the first college basketball game, the University of Chicago beat the Chicago YMCA 19-11. Today in 1918, the first Tarzan movie, Tarzan of the Apes, premiered at Broadway Theater. Today in 1956, RCA released Elvis Presley's single Heartbreak Hotel, his first million seller. And today in 1976, the first episode of the sitcom Laverne and Shirley, starring Cindy Williams and Penny Marshall, aired on ABC. Today in 1756 in Salzburg, in what was then known as Germany, a government official's daughter, Anna Maria Pertl Mozart, and a composer's violinist, Leopold Mozart, who together were considered the town's most attractive couple, welcomed their son Wolfgang Amadeus into the world. He and his sister Maria would become the only surviving children of seven whom Anna and Leopold's marriage had produced. Wolfgang was soon evincing musical genius, composing minuets before he had turned age five. His older sister Maria, nicknamed Nannerl, was also a prodigy, mastering the clavier by age nine. Giving concerts, the two of them toured Europe with their father. Their mother, Anna, usually stayed home while corresponding by letter with her husband as to the progress of the children's performances, which were increasing their fame along with creating fatigue since the tours were becoming long and difficult and the now adolescent Mozarts were losing their novelty. Wolfgang was growing into a short, pale, ordinary-looking young man with ordinary appetites who was not easily finding a patron. Biographer Ed Morrow tells us that although Wolfgang married happily, he had trouble supporting his wife and was reduced to cranking out hack pieces and teaching untalented students. Kidney disease, stemming from overwork and malnutrition, killed him at age 35. Fortunately before them, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart had finished various masterpieces, among them the Requiem and the Marriage of Figaro. The happily married Wolfgang had once remarked, "A bachelor, in my opinion, is only half alive." Today is also the birthday in 1585 of Dutch winter landscape painter Hendrik Overkamp, in 1775 of German philosopher Friedrich Schelling, in 1832 of English writer Lewis Carroll, in 1921 of American actress Donna Reed, in 1936 of American actor Troy Donahue, in 1942 of American folk singer-songwriter Kate Wolfe, in 1944 of British progressive rock drummer Nick Mason, in 1945 of Cree political leader and indigenous rights advocate Harold Cardinal, in 1948 of Russian-American ballet dancer, choreographer and actor Mikhail Baryshnikov, in 1951 of Irish rock drummer Brian Downey and of American rock keyboardist Seth Justman, in 1953 of American jazz saxophonist Bob Mintzer, in 1956 of American actress Mimi Rogers, in 1961 of Canadian folk singer Margot Timmins, and in 1964 of American actress Bridget Fonda. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the sixth week of winter and to the fifth week of 2025.